Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Ches. We are beginning already almost two-thirds of the way down at the two dots, Tanu Rabbanon on Ches Omet Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Mari Burstein, Yisrael Moshe Ben Tzvi, and we continue to learn for the safety of all of our forces in Eretz Yisrael. They should be safe. Nebuch yesterday was a very difficult day for Klal Yisrael with so many soldiers. Nebuch. Unfortunately succumbing, and B'ezus Hashem, there should be no more korbanos. They're all the ones that are sick. There's a number of soldiers that are very sick. They should have a refuah shlema. B'ezus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect us, should protect our holy forces, and B'ezus Hashem, we should redeem the captives, and we should have peace in Klal Yisrael, peace in the world, and Shalom HaYisrael. Okay, we pick up Tanu Rabbanon. Almost two-thirds of the way down, Chesed Aleph. The Braisa starts and teaches us, Mochar li echad, if a person had properties and he had obligations. So he had an obligation as a damager. He had damaged somebody else, so he has to pay the damages. He also owes somebody money, so he is in debt to somebody. There's a Baal Chov against him. And Nebuch, the person also had divorced his wife, and there's a Kesuba out against him. So he has these three types of damages, for which we already said previously, the halacha is that he has to pay the damages of the nizak from his best properties, from his idiot's properties. He has to pay the balchov from his bain and his properties, and the ksuba has to be paid from his tziburis, his worst properties. That's assuming he has all three categories, so he would pay each one respectively. But in this situation, mochar li echad, he had sold all of his properties, and now he's destitute. He has no properties, and he has no cash. So there is a lien on all of his properties, even though they've been sold to somebody else. We know that when he has absolutely nothing to collect from, so as long as those obligations occurred while he still had the properties, there's a lien on those properties. So his properties are mortgaged, so to say, to pay off the nizak, to pay off the Baal Chov, and to pay off the ksuba of his wife. So, mochar li echad, if he had sold all of his properties to one person on the same day, so his idias, his bainanis, and ziburis properties were sold to Yankel all on the same day, or to three people on the same day. Either they were sold with a single document, all three, or they were sold to three people without any ability to say which one of those three came first. As Tosus points out, that the Ein Kosim shows, they didn't write down this was at 10 o'clock in the morning, this was 11 o'clock in the morning, this was 12 o'clock. They didn't write that down, except in Yerushalayim, where the custom was to write down the hour of the day. So here, all three documents will have on them, for example, it says Tezvav Cheshvan. All of them will have a certain day on them, but not able to distinguish which one of the three came first. In this situation, he has no properties. The person who owes all this money has no properties left, and he has no money. So, kulan nichtesu tachas haba'alam. So each of the people that purchase his land, they take the place, so to say, of the original person who owes the money, and the person who had been damaged, the nizak, can go to the one who had purchased the idiot's properties and go collect his damage from those properties. And the one who is the Baal Chov can go to the one who had purchased the bain in his properties and collect his chov from them. And the wife, she can go to the one who has the Zibur's properties, who had purchased those properties and collect her ksuba from them. That's a simple, straightforward understanding here of the Mishnah. However, Bizdeh Acharzeh, if in fact he had sold them on three different days, so on day one, he'd sold one of the properties. Day two, a later date, he sold the second of the properties. And on day three, a later date, he'd sold the third one of the properties. So in this situation, we clearly know which one was sold first. Now, the one that was sold first, the owner has the right to say, listen, I left any of the Baalei Chov, I left the Nizak, I left the Baal Chov, I left the woman with the Ksuba properties that she can go collect from, he can go collect from. So therefore, my property is not leaned ahead of those properties. In other words, while he still had properties extant, you must collect from the properties extant. So I left those properties extant as long as enough money left in those properties, even though they're not idiots. So the Nizak will have to go collect from the Bainanis and from the Ziburis. And the Bachov, likewise, even if there's only Ziburis left, he'll have to go collect from that because it was left for the owner, the original owner of those properties, to pay off his debts from what he had. So each of them can say in this situation that the properties that were sold last are the ones that are first going to be used to collect. So in this situation, where the properties were sold on three separate days, three separate times, so kulon govim min ho'achron, so the three categories of people collecting, the Nizak, the Bachov, and the wife, the ex-wife. So they all collect from the last property that was sold, because that's the one that was left for him to go and pay off all of his debts. So Kulon Govin Mino Achron. No, if there wasn't enough money in the Achron's property, let's say it was worth only $500 and the total outstanding debts from the Nizak, the Bachov, and the Ksuba, the woman, was $10,000, so then they would collect what they could from that last property, but ain't low, when there's not enough there, go with Mishal Fonim. Then they go to the second to last property that was sold. And if there's not enough there, ain't low, then ultimately, go with Mishal Lifnei Fonim. Then they go to the first of the properties that was sold. So you go in this hierarchy. First you go to the last item that was sold, regardless of what its status was, and everybody collects from there. If that's enough, then fine. Everybody collected from that, whatever that was. And if it was the not enough there, then they would go to the middle property. And if not enough there, then we go to the first property. Okay, that's what the Braisa tells us. Now, let's look at the Braisa and understand it a little bit better. Mechorin li echod. In the first scenario, we said that one person purchased all three of the properties. So, hechidami, what exactly is the case over there? Ilema, if you're going to tell me bevas achas, they were all sold at the same time, so then what's the chiddush? Hashto l'shlosha, if you sell it to three people at the same time, meaning all on the same day, and we have no way of distinguishing, it's not Yerushalayim when they wrote the shows, and there's no way of distinguishing whether property A, B, or C was sold first, they were all sold on Tezvav Cheshvan. So in that situation, if you're telling me hashto l'shlosha, the ikol emeimar chad minayu kodim, where at least in theory there was the potential that we would know which one was sold first, and nevertheless, Armas Kula Nichlis Utachas Abalam. So in that situation, she said they're all considered sold at the same time. So when you're dealing with three separate purchases, we say we view them as that they're sold at the same time. So Mecharli Echami Bai. Why would the price have to tell me the case where he sold it to one person? Again, if he's selling it to three people on the same day, we say that they're indistinguishable which one came first, second, or third, and therefore the people that are owed money go collect from each of their respective properties. So the Nizak will collect from the Idiot's property, the Bachov will collect from the Beninis, and the woman with her Ksuba will collect from the Ziburis. In that situation, it's three separate people. So of course, if it's one person, the same thing would apply. So what's the Chiddush of telling me the case of one person? So Ella, the understanding of the Braisa is, Ella Pshita, Bezeh Achar Zeh. We must be talking about, when he sold it to one person, it's talking about Bezeh Achar Zeh. He sold it to Yankel. He sold him on day one, this property. The next day, he sold the next property. And the next day, he sold the next property. And that's when it's all sold to Yankel. So, Umay Shnor Shlosha, why would it be different than with three separate boys? Because in that situation, the Kol Chad V'Chad Omalei, he Nachti L'chomokum Likvos V'menu. Because each of them in the three separate buyers could say, listen, when I purchased the property from you, I knew you still had two other properties left. And I said, well, the outstanding debts that you might have, the Nizak, the Bachov, the Ksuba potential, so I knew that those would be able to be taken care of with the two properties that I left you behind. So therefore, you can't come to me. And the second one can say, listen, I thought that there'd be enough money left in the one property that you had left, and therefore you can't come to me. You first have to go to the last property. And no, if that's not enough, then I understand that I'm at risk. But in that situation, the Kochad Bechad Omale, each of the earlier buyers can go say to this person who owes the money, he nachti l'chomokum ligvos v'menu, I left you plenty of place to go collect from, so you can't come to collect to me, even though the Nizak can collect from the idiots, you can't go collect from me, I left you places to collect from. So why should that be any different than even if it's one person who purchased one property on day one, next property the second day, and then the third property the day after that? So Hainami, the din should be the same. He could say, listen, when I purchased this first property, I said, there's plenty of properties left that you're not going to go collect from this property. So why can't he say that, whether it's one person, Yankel, purchased all three on three separate days, or whether it was three separate people that purchased on three separate days? I left you plenty of room to go collect from. So how can you say that the Nizak gets to go to the Idiots, and the Balchov gets to go to the Beninis, and the woman goes to the Ziburis? Shmuel says, no. Hocham, I ask him, you know what we're actually dealing with over here? Kigon, it's the situation, Shalokach, Idiots Bachrona. Now let's get into the specifics a little bit more. The Idiots was the last one that was sold. So therefore, technically, everybody would want to go collect from the Idiots. And they can all say, listen, the others are within your possession. So it's the last one. So the Nizak certainly wants to collect from the idiots, but guess what? The Baal Chov says, I also want to collect from that idiots because that's the last one that was sold. And the woman with her ksuba says, I also want to collect from the idiots. That's the last one that was sold. So comes along the Brisa to be Mechadish over here that no, if it's one person, he could go and say, listen, I'm the same one person. I want you to collect from the idiots. I want you to collect from the bainness and you to collect from the tziburis properties and not all of you collecting from the last one because I own all three of them. And therefore, he is allowed to go and say, you take from this property, you take from that property, you take from that property, and not all of them going and collecting from the idiots that was sold last. And this not only is the opinion of the Brisa, but Chenom Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes explained it the same way. Kigon shalokach idiots bachrona. Now, more questions and says, if that's so, ihachi, so leisu kulu v'ligbu mi'idit. So then, still, why can't each of them say, that's the last property, and therefore, that's the one I want to collect from? So, even the Baal Chov and the woman with the ksuba should say, no, I don't want to go collect from the one that I'm halachically only entitled to. I want to collect from the one that was sold last. So, leisu kulu v'ligbu mi'idit. So, Gemara says, no. In this situation, mishum de'armalu, because this single buyer, Yankel of all three properties can say to them, listen, if everybody is willing to take what they're halachically entitled to. No, Mr. Nizak, I will give you from the idiots. That's what you're entitled to. And Mr. Bachov, I will give you from the bainis. Again, he owes all three. And Mrs. Ex-wife, you go collect from the Ziburius. If you all are willing to take what you're entitled to, then be silent and I'll give you what you're entitled to. Shaklisu. Fine. However, guess what? V'lo, if you, Mr. Baal Chov, and you, Mrs. Ex-wife, say, no, we want from the idiots, you know what I'm going to do? Mihadrino shtora diziburis lamare. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and give back the ziburis property to the original owner, the one that owes you the money. And now he will have land. Obito be ziburis. And guess what? All of you collect from the ziburis property. The person who you think you're getting over here, the idiot's property, now you're going to get ziburis property. So each of you better be silent. Otherwise, you're all going to collect ziburis property rather than each of you getting your respective, what you're entitled to, idiots, beninus, and ziburis respectively. Natosis points out, what's in it for the ziburis lady? She has nothing to lose by saying, okay, so do it. Sell it back. I'm going to get that anyway. So Tosis answers, you're right, it's not really going to challenge her. It's really for the other two people. And in any event, Mihadrin Ashtar de Ziburis Lamari, I'm going to go give, if you don't take what you're supposed to, I'm going to give back the field that is the Ziburis field to the original owner, who you have the debt on, Vishaklisu Kuchumi Ziburis. And all of you then will have to go take the Ziburis. So listen, be quiet, take what you're each entitled to get. You, Mr. Nizak, will get your idiot's property, but Mr. Baal Chov, be happy that you're getting the bainus, otherwise you're going to get Ziburis. And you, Mrs. Ex-wife, so you're going to get the Ziburis like you're entitled to. So that's what he can tell them when it's one person. So Ihachik, where it says, if that's the understanding over here of the Brisa, and we turn to Ches on the Beis, so then, b'nizokin nami ikohachi. So then, why don't we say the same thing when it's dealing with nizokin, when it's dealing with damages, that we can go say to the damaged party, listen, if you don't want to get ziburis, be happy to go and take beninus properties, because otherwise, I'll get back the ziburis. So, couldn't the nizak basically be exhorted over here that if you don't take the Beninus, then I'm going to give back the Ziburis. So, can't he do that? He can essentially say, I'm going to go give back the Ziburis property. If you don't want me to do that, take the Beninus instead of taking the Idius that you're entitled to. So, that would be a problem. So, that can't be the explanation. El Hochmaya Skinny, you know what, therefore, the Bryce is actually telling us over here? Biyasme, we're dealing over here with orphans. The Lav B'nei Piro Ninhu, the person who owed all this money, the one who was the mazik, the one who was the person who had borrowed the money, and he has to pay the Baal Chov, and the husband over here who had to pay off the ksuba for his ex-wife. So, Biyasme, we're dealing over here, he died, and his children now don't have to pay technically off all of those debts. The Lav B'nei Piro Ninhu. A child doesn't have to pay off the debts of their father. If there is property that's leaned, that property that is leaned is still leaned even though the children now inherited. But if there is no property, the children, while it's a nice idea, they're Yotzei Midei Shamayim to go pay off their father's debts. They're clearing their father's name. They're having people not be angry at their father. But Min HaDin, they can say, listen, those aren't our debts. We don't have to pay them off. Now, the property remains lien. So in this situation, when you're dealing over here with the original person that owes the money, is dead. So his Yisomim, the Yorshim of his estate, Biyasme, the Lab Bnei Piron Hinu, they don't have to go pay it back. And therefore, they are not going to say, we'll give back the property. They don't have to give back the property. The Shibuda delay, Ale Didei Ramya. All the father's outstanding obligations to the Nizak, to the Balchov, to the ex-wife. So all of them, they're paid off from the lien on the properties that he sold during his lifetime. The Shibuda delay, Ale Didei Ramya. It only is on him. It's not on the orphans at all. And therefore, Hilkach Lekol Meimor Hachi. The orphans can't say this. They're not obligated to pay. So they're going to wash their hands off from all of this and say, listen, do whatever you want to do. It has nothing to do with us. So therefore, the question goes back to the way it was beforehand. If our understanding of the Brice is that they're dealing over here with Yasmeh, so then why in the world is each of them not going to go take from the last one that was sold? Why do we have the right to say over here, each of them take from their respective properties that they're entitled to, instead of each of them taking from the idiots that were sold last? Someone says, Yitaka, right. Ella, you know what the answer is over here? Why can we say, you, Nizak, you take from the idiots, but you, Balchov, you go take from the Benis, and ex-wife, you go take from the Ziburis. Why is that allowed? Mishum de Amalahu, because the person who purchased those lands is still allowed to say, the one guy that purchased them, Yaakov, who purchased all of them, can say, Taima, my Amar Rabbanon, why did the rabbis say the rule, Ein Nifron Min Chasim Mishubadim Mimakom Sheish Bnei Chorin? Why did the rabbis institute this law that you can't go and collect leaned property if the original person that owes the money still has cash, if he still has properties, if he still has the ability to pay that? Because you're going to destroy the real estate industry. Nobody's going to ever want to buy a property if they know that it's going to be leaned. So when you do a title search, you say, listen, this guy has $1,000 worth of debt, but I know he has $1,000 worth of property besides this property that I'm buying. So therefore, I'm going to be in the clear. I don't have to worry about anything. So therefore, the rabbi said, when this person has properties extant, he still has money, he still has properties. So in that situation, nobody's going to be afraid to go purchase something, even though there's a technical lien on it. And therefore, because the rabbi said, since they know that as long as he has other properties, their property that they purchase is going to be safe. So this is a takana that the rabbis instituted, that you got to go take from the nechasim mishubadim only if there's no nechasim b'nei chorin. So that's a takana that the rabbis made. But that takana was for the benefit of the earlier purchasers of property. However, in this situation where one guy purchased all three of the properties, so he says, Mishum takanta didi, that was done for the benefit of the buyers. But here, this guy says, I'm the buyer of all three. I know, but takanta lo nichli. I would actually not rather have that takana. I'll say, no, go collect from any of the properties, since I purchased all three. I say, I would rather you go collect from that property. So, yes, Mrs. Ziburis lady, you're entitled to collect the Ziburis, Mrs. Ex-wife. So, you go collect from that one. And Mr. Balchov, Mrs. Balchov, you go collect from the Bainanis property. And yes, okay, Mr. Nizak, you get the right to go collect from the Idiot's property. That's the scenario of the Brisa. And this goes in court, Kid the Rava, what Rava said. What did Rava say? The Omer Rava, Rava previously said that a person doesn't have to take a takana of the rabbis upon himself if that takana is to his detriment. The rabbis made the takana to help him out. Where it doesn't help him out, a person has the right to say, listen, I don't want to be benefiting from that takana because I'm actually not benefiting from it. And Rava had said, Kola Omer, if a person says, he actually made takana's chachamim, this takana of the chachamim, which clearly was done for my benefit, however, in fact, it doesn't benefit me. I don't have to go and take it. Kigonzu, such as this case. So, and we'll see in a moment what that case is. Shomelo. So Rav had said, in that situation, we listen to the person, and he has the right to say, that takana which the rabbis made for my benefit actually doesn't benefit me, and I don't want it. And he has the right to do that, and we listen to him. Kigonzu, such as this case. Which case is this? My Kigonzu. So this is the famous case that we've discussed many times in Seder Noshim, Kid Rav Huna, what Rav Huna had referred to, the Amr Rav Huna had said, that the rabbi set up a takana that a woman should be protected, she should have financial security, her husband has to support her. And as a result of that, quid pro quo, since the husband's supporting her, so she has to go give any salary that she makes from her handiwork to her husband. So the normal situation is the husband's going to support her $200 a week. And the wife makes $50 a week, so that's overall to her better than, because instead of her just getting $50 a week, she'll now have $200 a week. So yes, the $50 that she earned, so that she has to give to her husband. So that's the takana that the rabbis instituted to protect the women. And Rav Huna had said, Yechola Isha Shutom Elibala, she can say to her husband, Eini Nizonas, I don't want you to support me, Veniosa, and I'm not going to give you my handiwork. Because she can say, listen, you're giving me $200 a week, I make $500 an hour. So I don't want your $200 a week, and as a result, I'm going to give up my $500 an hour. No, you keep your support, and I'll keep my salary. So she has right to do so, according to Rav Huna. And that's exactly what Rav meant when he said, Kigon Zu. Here's an example. The rabbi set up a takana to improve the life, to have the betterment of the woman in hand. And in general, that would be to her best interest. And that's why the rabbi set up the takana. However, where it isn't in her best interest, in the case that I said, where she'd be getting $200 a week, where she makes $500 an hour. So then the woman says, listen, nothing doing. Any nizonis, I don't want your support. Beniosa, and I'm not giving you my handiwork. So too over here. This single purchaser of all three properties can say, listen, the whole idea is that you're supposed to collect from the last one is to protect the earlier buyers. Well, guess what? I'm the earlier buyer too, and I'm not interested in being protected, and therefore I will give you from the one that you're entitled to, and not all of you collecting from the last one that I purchased, which was the hideous properties. Okay, now the Gemara says, in the following scenario, pshita, it's clear what the halacha is. If, for example, this person who owes everybody money, he owes the nizak, he owes the Bachov, he owes his ex-wife. So in that situation, where he then sold all of his properties to Yankel, Mochar lokeach beninis v'ziburis, and then Yankel sold the beninis and ziburis to a third person. So Yankel sells them to Levi. So now we have the original guy that owes all the money. He sold all of his properties to Yankel, and Yankel then sells them to Levi. So Mochar lokeach, the purchaser, Yankel, sold two of the three properties, the Beninis and Ziburis, he sold them to Levi. The Shiri, the Slavonim, but he left the best one for himself. So, bottom line is, Yankel now owns only the Idius property that he had purchased from the original guy that owes all the money. And Levi now owns the Beninis and Ziburis. In this situation, Leisu Kulu Viligbu Miidius, all three of the people, the Nizak, the Bachov, and the ex-wife, have the right to go to Yankel and take their debt from his idius property, because deha achronahi, because that was the last one that the original guy had sold. So he had sold, particularly here with the idius, was the last one that was sold. So therefore, they all have the right to go to Yankel and go collect their respective debts. The nizak, the bacho, and the ex-wife all could go and collect from the idius property. Ubeninus was ziburus less nugabe, and as long as there's enough money in the idiot's property, the Levi guy that bought the Ziburis, he goes off scot-free, because Ubeninus and Ziburis less nugabe, because Yankel doesn't have Beninus and Ziburis. He purchased the last property, which was the idiot, so everybody has the right to go and collect from that last property, because he no longer has Ubeninus and Ziburis less nugabe. He doesn't have those properties. If he had those properties, that was the case that we had before in the Brisa. If he has all three, he could say, I don't want the takana. But here he can't say, I don't want the takana, because the Motzi Lememra Lehu, if he had the Beninus and Ziburis, he can say to them, I don't want to have the takana. So, Givu mi Beninus v'Ziburis, the lo nicholi b'takanta the Rabbanan. When he has all three, he can say that. However, in the situation where he has sold the other two properties, so then that person, he can say, I do want the takana. That's why I bought them. So therefore, they have to go collect from you. So fine, that's clear. Pshita, it's clear that if Yankel only has the Idius properties left, he sold the Beninus and Ziburis that he had previously bought. But since the Idius was the last one that he bought, so everybody has the right to collect from the Idius. That's Pasha, no problem. However, Abu Mochar Idius, if Yankel had sold the Idius property and he left for himself for Shir Beninus and Ziburis, my, what would be the halach in this situation? The Idius property was the last one that was purchased, but then he went and sold the Idius property to Levi. So what's the halach in this situation? So, Sabra Abaye Lememar, Abaye first thought he wanted to say, Asu Kulu Gavu Miyidis. In this situation, you can still go to the Idias, because the Idias was the last property that had been sold by the original guy that owed the money, and therefore, that's the one that everybody goes to collect to first. Yankel sold that to Levi. Levi's problem. That's what Abaye first wanted to say. But Amalei Rava, Rava said, no, that's incorrect. Ma mocha rishon l'sheni. When Yankel sold this property to Levi, this idiot's property to Levi, he didn't just sell him that property. He sold him kol zuchus shetovo liyodo. He sold him all the rights that Yankel had in that property. And Yankel had the rights in that property to say, listen, I own all three, so you go collect from the Ziburis, Mrs. Ex-wife, and Mr. Balchov, you go collect from the Beninis, since he had that right when he had all three properties. When he sells the Idias, he's selling that right to be able to say, no, you, Mr. Balchov, you, Mrs. Ex-wife, you can't collect from the Idias. You got to go collect from the Beninis and the Ziburis, respectively. The Kivon, the Ilu Asu Gabi Lukech Rishon, because if they had come to the first person, Yankel, who had bought all of them, he could say, he could say, go and collect from those. I'm not giving you from the Idias, because I don't want the Takana. And therefore, the Afopi, the Chizab, the Beninus and Ziburis, even though under normal circumstances, when he bought the Beninus and Ziburis, he had the right to say, Akati Idias Bnei Chorin Habai, yeah, that Idias property, I'm still leaving with you, the original guy that owes all the money. And I know the rule is, and therefore, you can't come to me, anybody can't come to me and collect from these lien properties, the Beninus and Ziburis, because he could say, listen, I left him with the Idias properties, and in that situation, when he does purchase the Idias properties, Motzi Armalu, he can go tell them, listen, now that I bought the Idias property, I have all three properties, Lo Nichli Bahai Takana. I don't want to have this Takana that you're not allowed to collect from the Mishubadim when they're still B'nei Chorin, because I own all three, so I don't want that Takana. It doesn't benefit me. So therefore, now when he sold this Idias property to Levi, Lo Keach Sheni, Levi can now say, Nami Motzi Armalu, he can say, listen, when I purchased this Idias property, Givei Beninus and Ziburis, I knew that there was still Beninus and Ziburis that he had. Go collect from them. The Chizovin Lokeach Sheni, because when I purchased this Idias property, I purchased the whole package. Adaita Deko Zechuso, the Havale Larishon, the Gavor Zovin. I purchased his ability to have said, go collect from the Beninus and Ziburis as well. I didn't just purchase the Idias property. I purchased all the rights that he would have said. And he would have told the Balchov, collect from the Beninus. And he would have told the ex-wife, collect from the Ziburis. So too, I can go say, listen, go collect from the Beninus and the Ziburis, but don't come to me for the Idias. So that's what Rava told Abaye. Your original thought that everybody still can collect from the Idias is incorrect. Furthermore, Amar Rava, Rava said, Reuven Shemocha Kol Sedos of the Shimon. Reuven sold all of his fields to Shimon at the same time. There's no precedence one versus the other. And then V'holach Shimon, and then Shimon goes Umocha Sada Achas Levi, and he sells one of the fields to Levi. And now the Balei Chov of Reuven comes and says, "Listen, Reuven, pay me up." And Reuven doesn't have any money, so you get the right to go to the lien properties, because when the loan took place, the Balchov knew that there were properties there to guarantee against the loan. So Ubal Balchov the Reuven, now the Balchov of Reuven comes. So who does he go collect from? Does he collect from the property that Shimon has still? Or does he collect from the properties that Shimon sold to Levi? Again, Shimon bought all of Reuven's properties, but then sold some of them to Levi. So who does this Balchov go to? Does he go Shimon or does he go to Levi? So Robert said, it's his choice. It's a fielder's choice. He can go collect from whoever he wants to. Now, under what circumstances are we talking about? So Rava says, V'lo Amor, and I only said he can go collect from either Shimon or Levi, Elo Dezov and Beninus. That's where Levi bought Beninus land, which the Balchov is entitled to. So if the Balchov wishes to, he can go to Shimon. If the Balchov wishes to, he can go to Levi. Abo Zovan Idias Ziburis. But if Levi had specifically bought Idias and Ziburis land and left the Beninus with Shimon, then lo, then the Baal Chov of Reuven would not be allowed to go collect from Levi, from the Idias and Ziburis properties that Levi bought, but would be obligated to go and collect only from Shimon, who had the Beninus property. Because in this situation, Levi can say, "D'amalei lohachi daiki." That's why I was so careful. Vizavde, and I only purchased Idis and Zibur's properties exactly because I knew that there was this Baal Chov out there of Ruvein who would be coming to collect. If he couldn't collect from Ruvein, would come to collect from the Bain in his property. So I left the Bain in his property bedavka with Shimon, and I only purchased better and inferior properties, so he can't come to collect to me. So Arad lohachazilach. These lands that I purchased aren't allowed to be collected from. And therefore, Levi can say, you must go to Shimon and you can't come to me. And in fact, and even if Levi had purchased some Beninus land from Shimon, even there, even then, we don't say that the Bachov Ruvin has a field of choice. He can go to Shimon or to Levi. No, even there, Robert said, it's only Ella de Loshaya Beninus Klavase. The only time we said that if he wants to, he can go to Levi. If he wants to, he can go to Shimon. That's only in a scenario where Levi did not leave any Beninus property in Shimon's possession. The Lo Motzi Amale, in that situation, Levi cannot say to the Baal Chov of Ruvein, Hinati L'chomokum Megavi L'Shimon. I left place for you to go collect from Shimon. Because there is no Beninus property over there. So then, the Baal Chov of Ruvein has the right to go to Levi or to go to Shimon. However, Avoshir Beninus, the Kavosi Gabi Shimon, if he left enough property that's Beninus by Shimon, even though he purchased some Beninus property from Shimon, then he does has the right to say that, listen, I left Beninus property at Bedavka, and therefore you can't come to me for my Beninus property. You got to go to Shimon for the Beninus property that I left with him. Lo Gavi Minei, you can't come to me, Levi can say to the Baal Chov of Ruvein, because the Motzi Amele, he Hinati L'chomokom, L'gavos Mimenu, because I specifically left you Beninus property. Left that because I had to only buy Ziburis and Idias. I could even have bought Beninus property, but as long as I left enough Beninus property to go collect the debt that you are owed from Ruvein, so then, in that situation, Levi can say, I'm out of here. I have nothing to do with this. Go work with Shimon to go collect your debt. More continues and says, Omar Abaye. Abaye tells us, what about the following case? Ruvein, Shemocha, saw the Lishimon b'achrayis. Ruvein sold a field to Shimon with achrayis. Achrayis is basically the lien on the property. Now, I should point out that the rule of thumb is that even if you didn't mention achrayis, we assume it's a toz sofer, that the sofer made a mistake, and that the de facto default position is that when you sell property, there's always achrayis. So in our Gemara, we're going to be talking about when he sold it with achrayis or he didn't sell it with achrayis. We're really talking about where he wrote specifically in the document, this is different than the usual case. I'm selling to you, but bedavka without achrayis. And buyer beware. Either you purchase it without any achrayis at all, and understand that if somebody comes after me, you're not going to be protected. So that's what it means when it's selling without achrayis. So when we say that Ruvein Shemocha sold l'Shimon b'achrayis, it means that he sold it to him b'feirish with achrayis, or even if he didn't write it b'feirish, it's automatically part of the deal. Whenever you sell karka, there's always assumed to be achrayis unless it specifically states otherwise. So Abaye tells us, in this situation where Ruvein sold a property to Shimon, and of course there's achrayis on it, and then we also Baal Chov Ruvein, and a Baal Chov Ruvein comes to go and collect from this lien property because Ruvein doesn't have any cash, so therefore the only way to collect that debt is from the property that he sold to Shimon, v'toraf b'Shimon, and this Baal Chov Ruvein wants to go collect that lien property from Shimon, so the halacha is dina hu, the ozu Ruvein umishtoi dina v'hadei. Ruvein has the right to go and protest and take up the fight, the legal battle, to prevent this Baal Chov of his from collecting that lien property from Shimon. And he has the right to go and say, listen, I paid you back, I did this, I did that, that you don't have the right to go collect that lien property. Now, you can't say, the Baal Chov of Ruvein can't say to Ruvein, v'lo motzi amale, la bal dvorim didiyah. He can't say to Ruvein, get out of here. I have nothing to do with you. You're no longer in this case. You don't have the money to pay me, so I'm going to the lien property and go collect from there. No, in fact, Ruvein can say, the amale, imafkis minei, if you take this property from Shimon, because of the lien that you're claiming you have on it, so alai hadar. So Shimon's going to come back to me and say, hey, give me back the money that I paid for that property. So therefore, I am a bal dvor here. I am, in fact, a litigant in this case, and therefore I have rights, and I have the right to go and counter any arguments that you're making and say that, in fact, I don't owe you the money. And furthermore, the Ikad Yamre, you could even argue, Afilu Shalom Be'achrayis Nami, even if there was no Achrayis over here, it was specifically written down that when Reuven sold the field to Shimon, there is no Achrayis. He specifically stated, no, Shimon, you're buying this field, and if anybody comes to take it on the lien, I'm not responsible to give it back to you, the money that you paid for me, even if that's the case. Nevertheless, Reuven can say, I'm Bal Dvorim Didiat. I am able to go and counter the Baal Chov's claims, even though technically Reuven's not going to be out any money, even if he takes the lien property, if the Baal Chov of Reuven takes the lien property from Shimon, Shimon can't come back to Reuven to get his money back, so therefore Reuven technically is not out any money over here. Nevertheless, Reuven has the right to say, the Amalei, he can tell this Baal Chov, his Baal Chov, lo nichali, it's not good for me, this the heavy le Shimon, tarumis lai, Shimon's going to be mad at me for the rest of his life. He's going to say, listen, I know you told me I was out with Achrayis, but I really didn't expect that to happen. And Shimon's going to, you know, be upset with him for the rest of his life. So therefore, Reuven can say, listen, even in this situation where I'm not out any money, I'm still a Baal Dvorim in that my reputation is going to be in trouble over here. People aren't going to want to do business with me because they're going to hear about this case. People are going to think that I'm a shtunk. People are going to think I'm not a nice guy. And therefore, I am a Baal Dvorim in this situation as well. Another statement that Abaye made, Yama Abaye, Reuven Shemocha sold the Shimon Shlo Bechrayis. In his situation again, Reuven sold this field to Shimon, specifically writing in the document, there is no Achrayis on this. So we turn to Tesamon Aleph. And now the Yotsu Olov Asikin. Rashi says, Orin, Lomar Shalonuhi. And now people come along and say that Reuven, you never were the owner of this field, and you didn't have a right to go and sell it to this person, Shimon. So if Shimon didn't yet make a kinyan on this property, so Shimon can walk away and say, listen, Yochel Lachzibor, he says, listen, I'm not getting involved in a legal battle over here. They're claiming you don't own the field. I haven't bought it yet from you. The kinyan hasn't taken place. I'm walking away from the deal, and there's no Misha Parah involved over here. They had shaken hands. They had said, this is the deal. But Shimon can walk away at this point in time because he can say, I don't want to get involved in any legal battles. However, once he made a kinyan on the field, so then, then he can't walk it away. He can't say, I don't want to have anything to do with this over here anymore because he made a kinyan on it. So what's the rationale, my timer? Because the Amalei, because Reuven can tell Shimon, Chaito de Kitre Savris Vikabalt. You knew that there was potentially trouble over here. As Rashi says, Sak Yeshua Mali Ruach. You bought a bag that looked like it was filled, but it really just had air inside of it. There's nothing inside of it. You knew that. When you were purchasing these from me, you knew that there was potential over here that people would say, I don't own the land. And nevertheless, you purchased it and you made a kinyan on it. And therefore, you can't walk away from it right now because you took the risk. You were saying, that's why I'm getting such a great deal over here. And therefore, you don't have the right to walk away. Until you made the kinyan, you do have the right to walk away. But once you made the kinyan, Abaye says, you don't have the right to walk away. At what point is it considered over here that there's a chazaka that he can't walk away? So the Gemara tells us, Michi Daish Amitzri, when he goes and walks around the field and he sort of, so to say, makes a kinyan by walking around the field, and this establishes that he is definitely purchasing this field. Because when he walks around the field, he is basically strengthening the field by stepping on the boundaries, so that makes like a kinyan in the field, that he's improved the field somewhat. The davka shelo be'achrayis. But this din that we just said is only applicable when there is no achrayis. So then, if there's a kinyan, then he can't walk away. If there is no kinyan, then he can walk away. Avo b'achrayis lo. But if there's achrayis over here, then he can walk away even if he made a kinyan. Why is that? Because he can say, listen, you have a chrayis, you have to pay me back. So if you lose the field, you're going to have to pay me back. So instead of having to go through that whole process where I give you the money, you lose the field, you then have to pay me back the money, just give me my money back right now. And I'm chozer because I have a chrayis. That's the first understanding over here. Abo b'achrayis lo. If there's a chrayis, so then even where he made a chazak on the field, he has the right to say, listen, I don't want to get embroiled in a legal controversy over here, which eventually you're going to have to pay me back if you lose, so therefore, just give me back the money right now. That's the first version. Ikud the Amre, however, there's another version that says, Afilu b'achrayis nami. In a situation where he gave him achrayis, he doesn't have the right to go and retract. Even in that situation, the deal goes through, because the Amalei, he can say, Ach ve tirfach, nu, when you have the property taken away, Shimon, then I'll go and pay you back. Until then, the deal is a deal. As Rashi says, afilu kibel achrayis, in the situation we kibel achrayis, the Yesh Lomar, he can say, ho, v'sol v'lasu alo, achshu dami yachshu v'yitlenu, that which we had said in the first version. So you say, I don't want to get embroiled in this controversy. So no, Reuven has the right to say, afilu achi, en yochel achsebo, you can't go back, because when I lose the case, so then you'll show me that your property was taken away, and only then I'll have to go and pay you. But until then, I don't have to go and pay you. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir. Again, our prayers are for Shalom Ayisrael, and all the sick Chayalim, Nebuch, the ones that have been injured very severely, especially, they should have a refuah shlema immediately.